Who's in the box? What's in the box?
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in.
No. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
You're staying. This isn't a democracy anymore.
This is now the United States of
EMZT Radio.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Welcome to another episode of EMZT Radio. I am Bane Hellborn with my partner, the infamous MJ.
That's right. Mr. J is back. Mr. J, hello. Hello.
Mr. J.
Mr. J.
It's Bloody Valentine's week. Mr. J.
Bloody Valentine's. God. I just realized something. The day we're releasing this podcast, go to the store. It's half price chocolate.
It's the best time to get it.
Half price chocolate, baby. I live for February 15th and November 1st because that is when candy is half off.
That's right.
Love the half off candy.
Anti-Valentine's, I'm reading this, Anti-Valentine's camp, it's eschews the Hallmark's holiday sentiment by watching horror films featuring bad romances, bloody sexcapades, and twisted love stories. Nice.
Twisted love stories. Gotta love... this is the perfect time to watch revenge movies, like Last House on the Left.
Oh... like the original, it's brutal.
The original. So we have, we actually get to do movie reviews in the open this week.
We do.
Because we have friends that are out and about this weekend. As a matter of fact, when we're doing this, Mad Monster Party is this weekend. When you hear it, it's the February the 16th. Is when it is, and you watched one film, and I watched another film.
Mm-hmm.
The name of your film just escaped my mind for 5 seconds there.
Monkey Farm.
Monkey Farm. Because Monkey Farm. My brain doesn't function. tell me a little bit about that film, and then I'll tell you about Fireside Tales.
Yeah, I decided to go for the found footage creature feature is what it is. It starts off, there's a documentary film group doing a film project about animal testing research. And they find out about a facility that did animal testing, but there's an urban legend around it. So the project takes a turn. And it's found footage. The way they did the cameras, you know how Blair Witch Project, the camera work was all shitty and herky jerky to see anything.
And it really did kind of killed the thing for a while.
Yeah, it was really hard to watch Blair Witch with all the running they did, and they were just herky jerky with the cameras. They couldn't hold it straight enough. And this film, they use like GoPros and a really nice handheld camera. I don't know which one it was, but I mean, it wasn't so much herky-jerky, and even if they did run, you can clearly see where they were going. So, I mean, it was the camera, like I said, the camera work. I gave them, like, huge kudos for the camera work for this, because it's not your standard shitty herky-jerky, can't see shit while they're running.
Right.
Camera work. Where this you could, and it was, and also had some creepy night scenes that just kind of scared me quite a bit, because what comes out of the dark, whoa, nah, no, no.
Nice. I like
but
that.
But it's a really good film, and it is based off a real story that happened here in Arizona called The Monkey Farm.
Nice.
So it's a good, this is a good film to watch.
Absolutely. Now, I sat back, I watched Fireside Tales. Now, both of these come from Catch Me, Kill Me Productions, link in the description. And I like this one because it was a good anthology series. And
love anthologies.
Yeah, especially when, especially the way this one was told. Now, usually when you get an anthology series, it's just story, 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 story. Not this one. They actually clicked them all together by putting a bunch of friends around a fireside and let them tell the story, which is why a lot of them were really short and a lot of them kind of skipped out on a few details. They probably should have, but you got why. Because they're, A, they're drunk, and B, you know, and they're amateur storytellers for crying out loud. This is a great film, but it's got a really awesome twist at the end.
Mm-hmm.
As in, the stories just aren't the finish of the stories. Let me put it that way. There's a about 20, 30 minutes of extra good footage that you'll like at the end of the film. I really did like this one. It was a great job by the crew. I loved Undertow. Undertow is... Now, I'm saying this with all due respect, and you'll kind of understand... When you see the film, you'll kind of understand my point. That where you have Jason, who would be Clark Griswold, Undertow, aesthetically only, is Cousin Eddie. As in, it's out in the desert, he's got overalls, but his mask is so awesome. Whoever did the mask on this one deserves a lot of credit, because it looks like a rotting face, and it looks like pus and green stuff. Ew. Gangrene is coming out of it. It looks really good. So you definitely want to check this one out when it comes out. But both of those can be seen this week at the Mad Monster Party, which is on the 16th.
Okay.
So enjoy those if you're going to the Mad Monster Party. Unfortunately, I can't make it up there for it this year. I'm hoping to make it up there for it next year. Or if they do one later this year, I'll probably end up heading to that one. It's in Charlotte at the Hilton University place over in Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, the home of Rick, woo, by God, Flair. So, you know.
Nice.
Go ahead, head that one out. But it's also National Pro Wrestling Day on Saturday. So, and Bane, I know you're not a big wrestling fan, so
I'm not a wrestling fan.
I'll throw this one out to Twitter. Give me your favorite horror gimmick in professional wrestling. So hit us up at EMZT Radio. Your favorite horror gimmick in professional wrestling. I think mine is probably Rosemary. She is just all you have to see her to believe her, but she is pretty awesome. She seems like she keeps saying we, and if you've ever followed her on Twitter, it's We Are Rosemary. So it feels like almost she's possessed. She kind of has that possession feel to it. But she calls herself the Demon Assassin.
Well, there you go.
So I think there's like two sides to her. Another good one right now is Bray Wyatt, who is kind of this cult leader. Kind of think of Deliverance.
Oh.
When you just, not the squeal like a pig type parts, but you know.
Kind of, oh,
I think they were inspired by Deliverance when they made his character. So
I wouldn't doubt it.
So you guys need to check that one out. Obviously, everybody's going to end up probably saying The Undertaker. Yeah, okay, cool. I'm cool with that.
That's the only one I know. He was scary.
It's like there's like when four. There's four different versions of The Undertaker. A lot of people don't realize that.
Oh,
it's like okay, you have Mortician Undertaker, which lasted probably his first year.
Okay.
He looked more like a mortician, and then it's like the evolution of the dead man, and then almost into like a demonic cult leader. And then he had the biker. Yeah, and then he had the biker for a while, which okay.
Who is the one in the black leather hat and the black leather long jacket?
That's the Undertaker.
No, I know, but I mean which one is that?
Oh, that's the dead man.
The dead man. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the dead man. So.
Oh, okay.
I just thought I'd throw that one out there. Anyways, we have an interesting show today, don't we?
Yes, very interesting. Our continuing celebration of Women in Horror Month. Should we say?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
We have a horror artist.
Yes.
Who does horror cross-stitch artwork, Bex Martz Burley.
Absolutely.
And she does the most amazing things with cross stitch. I didn't know you could do artwork at a cross stitch like that.
Oh yeah, I'm excited for this one because you know there's a few cross stitching nerds out there, I'm sure. And we use nerds with a for those of you who are new to the podcast. If we call you a nerd, we do it out of love. It just means
it's
you have a lot of passion. Yeah,
just, yeah, it's a compliment. meant.
It just means you're highly passionate about what you do.
Yes. So. Yes. We love nerds because we are nerds.
We should point that out because some people still take offense to being called a nerd. It's like, nah, I don't take offense to being called a nerd, damn it.
No, that was back in the 80s when being called a nerd was like a shit, you know, something to piss on somebody. Yeah, something to piss on somebody. No, now nerds are awesome.
That's right, because the number one rated show in the country is still The Big Bang Theory, unfortunately. I really use the term unfortunately there.
Yeah.
But anyways, yes, we're going to talk to Bex here in a little bit. So let's party down with some tunes, shall we? On EMZT Radio.
We are the undead. Immortal.
When you're in the light, you look like an animal caged tight. Daylight, I feel the end, I feel the war. I feel the hammer crushed out in the world. I'm going down, down, down. Ooh, yeah. Killer heart in a wasteland. Diamond eyes of a maelstrom.
EMZT Radio is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/EMZT. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. For you, the listeners of EMZT Radio podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. That's audibletrial.com/EMZT.
Hey, Insaniacs. This is V from Creeping Beauty, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
From an article from horror-movies.ca, Woman Power in Horror Movies, Top 10 Female Horror Roles. Ever since horror movies, a certain label has existed. The women play the damsel in distress, and the men typically are the heroes of the day. But as the years pass, horror has changed. This mantra that once existed has long disappeared. Since the 70s and before, the woman protagonist has become more prevalent figure. Ripley from Aliens and many others have shown the typical formula can be changed. Recently on horrormovies.ca, a thread brought this matter to attention. It primarily was discussed a particular film, Jennifer's Body, and its lack of sales, amid which the main star, the notable Megan Fox, was citing many factors to its failure. In addition, it was brought up as to what movies best depict women in empowering roles in terms of both strength and heroism. There are plenty of examples. Labyrinth, Thelma and Louise, hell, even Matilda hits on the idea that these, of course, are more the mainstream movies. But then the question becomes, what are some of the best examples of horror films that place a woman in a position of power? So after the thread, the author decided to conduct their own research, and actual number of horror movies where the woman is the dominant figure actually surprised them. They are diverse, different, and provide a unique insight into film. So here's the list of best horror movies that promote woman power. Number 10, All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. Odd one to make the list. Perhaps, but in the end, this almost brilliant example of girl power in a movie. The title alone makes it a given, but respect has to go to the movie itself, which doesn't use other horror movies to be effective. The end effect of the movie is particularly jarring, and for that reason, this movie deserves to make the list. Number 9, Resident Evil. Alice, the all-action female starlet. This movie caused a divide when it came out, and understandably so. While it can never compare to the game itself, the all-female lead in Mila Jovovich is what makes it worth watching. With some excellent gore and some great fight scenes, this is a girl power flick. It may have the tough males, yes, but in the end, Alice is the main star because of her. That is why this, by and far, a girl power horror film. Number 8, Species. They could have put Scream or any countless others here, but instead opted for a classic sci-fi horror we all are well acquainted with. Syl is a beautiful but deadly creature. Throughout the movie, she uses her feminine and beauty to lure those she wants into a false sense of security. It's woman power in its rawest form, and it's a movie that sells because Henstridge creates a character we should rightly dislike, and yet find ourselves torn. It's a fantastic gem that spawned plenty of other Species film, but for this list, there was only ever one that could top the list. Number 7, Carrie. Rather an odd choice given the ending, but still a worthy addition. We know the story of Carrie, what she endures at home, and what she has to deal with at school. And yet throughout, she stays strong-headed, shows she is capable of looking out for herself, and of course, she has a special gift. Sissy Spacek played the role fantastically and actually did a good job of making the character from Stephen King's story her own. Pure woman power horror? This can remain up for discussion. But it deserves that honor, and we can only hope that you guys think so too. Number 6, Ginger Snaps. Does this film really need an introduction? The entire film from beginning to end is a metaphorical message of female and teenage puberty in its ugliest form. It's about two sisters, one as we know who transforms throughout the movie into a werewolf and her sister who has to find a way to deal with the problems. You want a better example of woman power in a horror movie? You're looking at it. Gore and grizzle aside, this is one of the more powerful female horrors in the last couple of years. Number 5, Teeth. This movie might not be well-renowned outside of horror circles, but for a low-budget indie production, it is big on both heart and the message it conveys. Jess Weixler, as Dawn, was a quiet revelation who created a big splash and was one of the best things to promote this film. As woman power goes, she really was in a movie that gave plenty of it. Definitely a film with bite. Number 4, The Descent. This was a strong follow-up to director Neil Marshall's Dog Soldiers. With not a male in sight, only little at the very beginning, this is complete woman power. Women turning on women, monsters in the dark, and a claustrophobic atmosphere all make this a must-see. So far, we have seen a plethora of differently themed horror movies topping the list. Some you might agree with, some you might not, but there is no denying their impact on the genre, their use of the term woman power. So without further ado, here's the top three woman power horror films. Number three, The Silence of the Lambs. Let's take away the fact this causes divide over its specifics as horror and just focus on a few facts. It's a cannibal film. It has truly horrific moments of horror, and it gave us one of the finest female protagonists in movie history, Clarice Starling. Her intellect against Hannibal's is a compelling dynamic. Their interaction and struggle for control really gave the film a sense of realism and soul to the characters. In a movie where many men largely dominate, Clarice provided one of the brightest spots and show us that woman power can exist on an intellectual level as well. This film deserved to be at number three. Number two, Halloween. If we're discussing the power of women, then it would be regrettable to have a lot of feminine heroes and not include Laurie from Halloween. We have Michael Myers and Dr. Loomis, so it's quite male-dominated. But Laurie shows us that you can fight the bad guy and win. Myers aside, Laurie's character is powerful and becomes memorable in its own right. The ending is curious, but there is no denying this is one kick-ass version of woman power. Number one, Alien and Aliens. Of course, the supreme choice is Ripley of Aliens. Never has there been a better case of kicking ass, in space no less, and showing the aliens that you don't mess with us. Why it works, of course, is due to several reasons. The first is a sense of entrapment. In space, you do not have anyone you can turn to. No authority figure, so it's down to you and only you to do something about the danger that awaits you. The second and smartest choice was letting a lot of the males be the first to bite the dust. They could have very easily let Ripley die and given the main lead to a male instead, which originally was the plan, believe it or not, but in the end they made the smart choice of keeping her as the only one left. Weaver plays the strong female lead perfectly and might even be considered the finest example of woman power in horror. No other movies have portrayed a female character of such formidable substance. Of course, there are many more that could have been on the list, but as it stands, they just missed the mark. And you are listening to EMZT Radio.
Of brilliance, why should we see the grayness of skies, leaving our haven for a few extra shillings? The old brother's grim comes to mind, where the fisherman follows his wife. From a backseat positions, like watching a tiger. throat. Can I loosen the rope that's strangling you? When I count to three, make a run for those trees. This lesson in progression's cut off at its knees. Their black has turned green. Their black has turned green. They're green. Not with envy, no newness of life. No, they're green. With the poison from having to eat their own servings. They're green from slipping in their spine. They're so green. It's their turn. They are green with the fate they deserve. Now everyone's green. Everyone's green.
But can you handle midnight movies 24 hours a day?
Your death will be indescribable.
Find out on Black Flag TV. The first viral television on the web. Black Flag TV is entirely dedicated to haunting horror, science fiction, and cult movies. Broadcasting live 24 hours a day, obscure independent movies and classic horror. Make Black Flag TV your sanctuary for the horror genre.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Visit us now, blackflag.tv.
Hi everyone, this is Kara Dwin from Sugar Plum Suicide and you're listening to EMZT Radio.
And as part of our celebration of Women in Horror Month, we have today Miss Bex Martz Burley, and she is an interesting horror artist. Would you tell us of your craft, Bex?
Yeah, sure, no problem. I do cross-stitch, and I focus on the horror genre, and I also do B-movies, and some snarky, subversive things. And I do commission work and some art therapy, I call it. And but I mostly gravitate towards horror.
Does the cross stitch you do, is that by hand or can we use like a sewing machine?
Oh, no, no. You got to do it by hand.
How long does it take for you to do a piece of art?
Some of my pieces fit into a 5x7 frame, and so it can take you anywhere from an hour to, I don't know, maybe 8 hours for a 5x7. For something like an 11x14, it could take you months, depending on how many hours a day you want to work on it. They can take a long time.
This art is very detailed. It just, it would seem to take a long time to me. At least it would for me.
Yeah, it can take a while, especially the more colors you use, is the more times you have to change threads, you know, and things like that. So you have to stop more and put different colors on your thread and keep working. So, yeah, it could take a while. I mean, it's, but it's very cathartic because you can kind of zone out and, you know, just, it's almost meditative to me to do it.
How long have you been doing this art?
Probably about 10 years.
Wow.
It really started when Julie Jackson came out with Subversive Cross Stitch. And that just blew my mind because before then, when I was younger, my grandma, everybody's grandma teaches them to cross stitch, I swear, from our generation. And, you know, there's only, back then it was only things like Bible verses and teddy bears and little bunnies and things like that was available.
Right.
And then Julie Jackson came out with Subversive Cross Stitch, and then it was F the dumb, you know, shit. I'm sorry, you can flip that up. And it was, you know, it was Kiss My Grits and things like that that she made into these patterns, and she put them next to the fluffy little bunnies and things like little houses and flowers and things like that. And it was so funny. And it felt so, so amazing to sit at work at a job you hated on your lunch break and to stab a needle into this fabric and cross stitch the F word when you're, you know, sitting there like, I hate this job. I hate this job. And it was awesome. It just blew my mind. And I'm like, I love this. And so, you know, there are some people who want to buy those patterns and they want to stitch them. And then there's people like me who want to create our own patterns. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I took off from there creating my own patterns. And then I kind of sort of, you know, I got a software pattern maker, and I just kind of took off from there and making my own patterns. And I, you know, I started kind of mimicking what she did, but then I was like, I don't want to do anything like what other people are doing. I want to do something that's more like reflects my personality. And that's kind of how it came to be.
These are simply amazing. I'm loving your little logo for your Etsy store, Demon Monkey Craft. Where did you come up with this logo? It's a little red devil monkey holding a needle while reading the Necronomicon on a spool of red thread. Love it.
Well, that I'm unfortunately don't have the ability to draw. Oh. So my girlfriend, Terry Heinemeier, which if you go to my website, demonmonkeycraft.com, and you look in the upper left-hand corner where my logo is, you will see a link to her Twitter page. And she is amazing at drawing. And you can see all her stuff. Lou Temple, she's a big fan of Lou Temple. And we met him when Walker Stalker came to Denver. And she, he just retweeted a drawing that she did of him because he's really, you know, cool guy. And she drew him, and he retweeted it when she, I guess, tagged him in it. And then he tweeted it again just out of the blue because he loves it so much. But you could see her stuff. And I'll, I said, hey, Terry, can you do the demon monkey holding a needle, you know, like reading the Necronomicon, and, you know, throw the spool of 666 thread in there because then, and because the let me take a drink here. Okay. The company that I use for my thread is called DMC, and I was trying to figure out what to call my company when I rebranded. So I played off of DMC. And now I'm like doing the acronyms, and I'm like, Demon Monkey Craft. Yeah, that sounds good. So that's how I got Demon Monkey Craft. And the color I use a lot is this certain kind of red. And the number in the DMC line is 666. That's the so I'm like, I need the spool 666. It's a certain color red. And so she draws it up for me, and sends me the drawing. And I'm like, that's perfect. And so she did the logo for me, and she also drew up a lot of the designs for my book that is coming out this spring. And it is called Evil Dead 2, The Book of the Thread.
Nice. And,
I'd be like, Terry, I know this is going to sound weird, but could you draw me a baby Henrietta in a baby carriage holding a rattle? And she's like, sure. And I said, I don't want Henrietta before she turned into the monster. I want the one where she's got the long neck. You know that
right.
one? Like,
right.
Sure, I can do that.
Oh.
So nice. there's a baby sampler that I wanted to do. I'm like, what else would people want to stitch, you know? And so I'm like, well, baby samplers are really popular as cross-stitch items. So what if there was a baby Henrietta looking, you know, with a bonnet on her head in one of those old-fashioned baby carriages, and, you know, she's hanging out in it, she's got a rattle, and, you know, and then I could do, like, a border and with little toys in a corner, and people can, you know, when they have a baby, you know, you can make a little baby sampler for them. And I'm like, aww, that's just the most bizarre crap ever. But that might work. So I like to tell her, and she draws it for me, and then I convert it into a cross stitch. And that's kind of how we collaborated together, and I paid her for her work, and, you know, that's kind of what we did. So I owe a lot to her. You know, I just come up with the most dumb crap out of my head, and she draw it for me, and that's kind of where things would go. But I also have to mention that the book is fully licensed from Studio Canal, who owns the rights to Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to pull images from the movie and also have those put into cross-stitch patterns. So fans can get those stills from the movie. And I have to say, those are incredibly detailed and hard to stitch. They're going to be really detailed. So they're going to be 5 out of 5 chainsaws on the difficulty scale. That's how we rate it, the difficulty scale. So there will be things that are 1 out of 5 rated. So when people are coming in as beginners, they can look through the book and say, oh, okay, this one's on the easy scale. I can do this. Or if there's people who are more experienced stitchers, they can say, I want to tackle something really hard. I don't want to do anything easy. Oh, my God, this is going to be hard. This is going to be something that's going to take me a long time to do. I think I'll try this one. So there's something for everybody that wants to learn how to stitch, to people who already know how to stitch. So it's going to be a pretty cool book. And Source Point Press, the publisher, has an amazing guy, Josh Warner, who makes his own comics, and he's really talented artist himself. He's doing the graphics for the pages and everything, so it's going to be a really cool looking book. It's in itself, just with his graphic design on it. So it's worth the wait. We're hoping it'll be out here in a couple months. There was a Kickstarter for it, and it was fully funded. So,
oh wow,
I'm really excited about it.
Where will the book be available?
The first people to get the book will be everybody who bought in on the Kickstarter, and then it'll be available for everybody else through Source Point Press. And we're hoping if people go to Barnes & Noble and say, hey, I want you to order this book, then Barnes & Noble will start carrying it. But I believe it'll be through Amazon as well. So, and then I will be going to different like comic stores that, you know, carry horror books and horror graphic novels and stuff around the country, and seeing if they will let me do book signings and maybe some cross-stitch demos, and seeing if they'll, you know, in turn carry it, because Source Point Press is primarily a graphic novel and comic book publisher. You know, but they're taking a risk with me and seeing how this goes, see if they'll get into kind of this new kind of wave of horror craft and, you know, alternative crafting kind of thing that's kind of, you know, coming out now, that it's been going around for a while. But, you know, when I approached them, I'm like, this is so weird. There's a lot of risk with this, but I invested in it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And when I invested in it, too, it took a lot of the risk away from them. So, you know, we're kind of feeling out the waters here.
I wonder if you could contact Dark Delicacies. Have you heard of that store down in Burbank area?
No, but I'm making note of that. Dark Delicacies.
Yeah. Yeah, Del Howison. He's the owner. He does a lot of... It's a store dedicated to all types of horror. I wonder if he would be interested in that.
I don't know. I'm going to have to get you to write that down for me.
Yeah.
Get that in an email?
Probably. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I was just thinking about that because Dark Delicacies, they do all sorts of... it's a total horror store. They do everything from books to apparel to everything, and they have people go into the store all the time. I was just thinking about that.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. There's a horror store like that in Fort Collins, Colorado that I'm already going to. So anything like that would be, perfect.
They have a horror store in Fort Collins?
Yeah, it just opened last year sometime. And he does movie showings, and he has all kinds of, any kind of paraphernalia to horror that he shows there too. But they do a lot of movie showings. And I'm like, it's like 2 hours away from where I live. I wish I was closer because I'd be there all the time. Blowing my money, It's sweet, but
That's amazing. Matt, do you have any questions?
Yeah, you said earlier you've done B movies. What kind of movies have you done? Like, we know you in anything, or because I'm a B movie junkie.
I'm a B movie junkie. So I did a cross stitch from Fido.
Yes.
I love that movie, and every time I mention it to people, it's like their eyes glass over, and I'm like, come on. Why didn't you watch this? This is a fantastic zombie movie. If anybody likes zombies, Fido is one of my top, at least one of my top 10. You have to see that movie.
So is Timmy in trouble, Fido? Where is Timmy? Love that.
So it's a cross-stitch of a big brain with like a reticle over it. And it says, in the brain, not the chest, headshots are the very best. I love that one.
Yeah. You need that for the dungeon.
And I did it once and actually sold that piece. And, I keep thinking I need to stitch it again because it was a really good one. because it's like people just don't. Oh, my God. People, you got to watch this damn movie. It's great. I do pieces from B movies a lot. And, whenever I see a great one like that, I'll try to, figure out a good quote from it and stitch something up for it. And, it's just, unfortunately, there's just not enough cool people out there to get it, and appreciate it.
There's cool people. They're just hiding.
Yes, they're hiding. Or maybe I just don't have enough, marketing dollars to get it in front of the cool people. Maybe that's the problem.
I'm still loving, by the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes.
Yeah, I like that. Everybody loves that. It's a good one.
How long did it take for you to do this Galaga screen
one? Man. That one, I started small with that and made it at my husband's request. And then I made a much bigger piece that looks exactly like the game board, what you would see if you were playing it. And it was one of my favorite arcade games.
Yes.
And, so I offer that as a pattern for people to do. That they can buy the pattern and go ahead and tackle that themselves. So, I do a lot of patterns because I can't, I can't always stitch these things up. It's very time consuming. So I do a lot of patterns and sell them. And it's called counted cross stitch. So it's not, stamped on a piece of a fabric. You have to, you count out where, basically you start in the middle of the fabric and you count out from the middle and that's where you place your stitches. So that's why they call it counted cross stitch. It can be really time consuming, but once you get going, you can kind of become faster stitcher But it's really fun to do, and it's so rewarding once you do it. But that one, I think, is either an 8x10 or 11x14 when it's all done. And that doesn't mean that you fill the whole entire thing up with stitches. I mean, you purchase a black piece of fabric.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. But it's cool because then, you know, it's a fun piece. And you can customize it if you want. You know, you could put how many ever extra guys you want, or you could change the score at the top to however you want to do it. But it's a fun piece. I mean, I like doing the gamer ones. I have one from Toe Jam and Earl that I've never put the pattern out. But I love that piece so much.
My childhood coming to life.
Yeah. I think it's in my slideshow on my webpage that you can see that piece. Those are fun. You know, you just kind of do them for the fun of it. And half the battle is trying to make the pattern, too. It's really hard to get it done just right. And sometimes I will spend, you know, 10-hour days just staring at the computer, making tiny little adjustments on these little pixels, trying to get it just right. It takes a long time. But the last piece I finished, it took me forever to make the pattern. And that piece is hanging right now in L.A. at the Hive Gallery. If anybody's in L.A., go check it out, Hive Gallery, downtown Los Angeles. It'll be there till the 25th, unless somebody buys it. It's at the Stitch Fetish 6, and that's, I can put a plug in for that show.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's got a completely different meaning outside of horror. It's Stitch Fetish is kind of more fleshy, bodily, having to do with things like of the flesh.
Nice.
And mine is more about kind of the Garden of Eden, and there's just a little bit of boobage showing, so it's not too it might be a little controversial, but it's not you know, pornographic or anything. And some of the other ones are definitely oh, I don't know. They're definitely a little more not safe for work. Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just know that going in, if you want to go see it.
Yeah, we probably should have told her she could cuss on this thing.
Oh yeah, let it fly, Bex. Let it fly.
Oh, thank the fucking stars!
There she goes.
My God. So hard, you know, my 6-year-old hears everything, so she's pretty like, oh, that's just how mom is. I can't say it, but mom does. And dad. Okay. All right, thank goodness. There we go.
So are you part of a horror crafting community? Is there such a community going on like that?
Oh, like a guild or something?
Or, no. You know, just a group, like a new subcategory for horror crafts?
Well, I know there's people who do it. You kind of know a couple people who do, just maybe by what their work looks like. There's a book called Twisted Stitches, and the name escapes me of the man who did it. But I don't know if he's still crafting or creating. He's from the UK, so it's kind of harder for me to keep track of his work. So there's people who do, who make their own patterns, and they do make their own art. You know, a lot of it's centered on, like, Jason or Freddy, you know, it's like Hollywood stuff. And, you know, like mine's Bruce Campbell. I do a lot of Bruce Campbell because I'm in love with Bruce Campbell.
Nice.
But I'm my next project, I'm really trying to do more original horror that's not movie or character related.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to go for more what's, you know, in the imagination. I'd like to get, you know, to be more original than taking things out of what you see on film. But, you know, there's people who do it. I think my book of patterns is going to be the first book of patterns that's truly the first woman doing a book of patterns on horror and horror and film, I think. I haven't seen anybody else do it. So I'm pretty excited about that. But the thing is, I don't think that horror craft is taken seriously as an art form. And that bothers me because you know how it's so hard for especially cross-stitch to be seen as an art form instead of craft. And there's always that thing you see in the art world as craft being art. And it's always kind of like a snooty thing, you know?
Yeah, but crafting can be an art because you're creating. So mm-hmm. I consider it art.
Yeah, it's definitely. I mean, I think if people are doing a pattern, say, of something they buy in a store and stitching it up, and is that art? You know, mm-hmm. that's kind of the gray area. Versus, you know, an artist taking days or weeks to make their own pattern and then stitch it and frame it and present that as art. There's a big difference, I think. But in horror, if you're doing that and creating something that's horror, I still see a big snub in the people who do the same thing that I do, but I do it as horror. It's Ooh. Still not really seen as art. And so I'm still working to change that.
Do you think it's because there's like very few who are doing this? So that's why it's not being taken seriously?
Maybe, but it's also, it seems like the genre. I mean, look at how it is in the Oscars.
Yeah.
It's the same, it feels like the same thing, you know? It's like horror is never taken seriously as an art form. It seems like everywhere. Yeah. And I don't really know why that is. Is it because it's too icky and people don't want to see that ickiness as art? Do we not want to admit to ourselves that being, you know, killing or maiming or being scared out of our wits is an art form? I don't know.
Wow. Well, maybe because, horror shows the ugliness in people sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that people are drawn to watching that. What does that say about us that we're so drawn to watching that? And is that we don't want to confront that part of us that is drawn to watching these things, but yet we can watch a show, you know, or a movie that, you know, is a war movie where all these people are being butchered and whatnot, and it can win a bunch of awards still, you know, because of all this humanity and us confronting all this, you know, humanity and I don't know, whatever. But in a horror movie, you know, is a redemption sometimes in a horror movie? I don't know. Some movies are seen to be. I mean, the thing you see in Saw, the message that he, you know, Jigsaw was doing in Saw. What was there any redemption in that? I mean, the people confronting all the ugliness inside of them. Mm-hmm. Why were they there? Why he chose them? Mm-hmm. And not that there was Oscar-worthy performances necessarily in that movie, but you know, if there had been, would it have been recognized? Probably not. So that's the stuff that kind of gets me, and I'm kind of wondering, is that why in even our artwork, is that why it's not recognized still? So it's kind of big questions, you know, and that we have to, you know, battle through to try to be recognized as artwork, art forms, and artists. Yeah.
Right.
And I got a friend that does, you know, art therapy. I honestly think that this would be perfect for something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Give her the email. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. The reason I really let the horror part take over in my business is I was trying to do all these things that I need to kind of go with the flow of what everybody else is doing because that's what's going to sell. And then I had a full-term stillbirth. My son died before he was born. And I just dove headfirst. I rebranded, and I decided to go with what I was best at, and that was my horror work. And I just went dark with it. You know, I started doing like the Nosferatu, and I went with the Bela Lugosi vampire, and I started just going and just, I'm like pushing myself to do stuff I hadn't been doing, but I wanted to do, and trying to get better. And that was 3.5 years ago. And I knew, and my goal was I wanted to be published someday. And so I just kept working really hard at it, and I kept asking for feedback from my mentor, who is Jamie Chalmers, who goes by Mr. X Stitch. And if you look him up, he's brilliant, and he's very well known in the cross stitch world. He just launched a magazine. He's published a book last year. He is just really well known. He's over in the UK as well, but he has done a TED talk. He's just really, really well known. By the way, the guys who cross stitch and embroider are called manbroiders.
Manbroiders, awesome.
You know, he's like, there's got to be something for, you know, men who are straight that stitch. You know, we're manbroiders. So anyway, he's always been a friend and kind of a mentor that I kind of fell in with. And I'd always sit, like, give him stuff to look at. He'd be like, and being British, he's very forthcoming and straight with his criticism, with critiques or whatever. So it would be kind of cutting and brutal. But it was what I needed to hear to get better. And I still need to hear those things because I'm not nearly as good as a lot of the artists are. And so I would take that feedback and I'd keep working and work. It took years to even get to this point. And I just went with it. And it was very therapeutic. Very therapeutic. And for anybody who, you know, is like me, who says, man, what a shitty day. I need to watch some people just get cut the fuck up on a horror movie. You know?
Yes.
And it's, what is on Shudder? What is on Netflix? I am going in and I am not coming out until I watch at least 2 movies of good goddamn bloody horror. And yes, that's how cross-stitch feels too, when you get a good pattern that, you know, is like a bit dark on the dark side. And I think there's a market for that. People need that, you know? Not
definitely
just stitching the word fuck, but does it, you know, have a nice bloody pattern to stitch out and hang on the wall and put it with their horror collection, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. So you're basically a pioneer in this area is what you're doing.
Oh, God, I never really looked at it that way, but yeah, we need this stuff, you know?
Yes.
So,
I wonder if there's a way we can find more of these type of artists with the cross stitching. There's got to be more.
Yeah, there's, you know, and I've thought about taking my blog and trying to find them and interview them and kind of so I can link it up and, you know, try to promote them. So, you know, we have like a network, you know, and that was kind of, I thought when I get done with my book, I should try to start doing that so we can find each other and lift each other up, you know, and start making a community.
Yes.
So, you know, now just talking to y'all about that, it just seems like we need to do that even more now.
Absolutely. So, okay. So I'm looking at your work and I'm just wondering, how do you convert what you want to these patterns? How do you make that? Do you do this all by hand or do you have some sort of a program that you use?
Yeah, I use PC Stitch.
Okay.
And if nothing else, you can also go old school and you use graph paper and you can draw directly onto your graph paper. Because those are just little squares. Or you can use a light box and take like a photo or a drawing and put it directly into your fabric. There's so many different ways. You can print out something and go over it with like an iron-on marker. And then iron it onto fabric. You know, if you want to just do a straight embroidery stitch and not cross stitch, that, see, there's different kinds of stitches that you can do. Oh my gosh, there's so many different ways. And I do talk about that in my book a little bit too. There's an introduction on how to stitch. So, and I talk about all the different stitches I use in my book.
Okay.
So you can get a little tutorial, but yeah, there's, but PC Stitch, you can actually import photographs in there and convert them into a pattern.
Wow.
So that helps too. You just have to be careful because if you want to take something off the internet, let's say, you don't, you want to make sure you have the rights to do so.
Right.
So that's always been something I've been very passionate about is, you know, copyright. You need to make sure you have copyright. Never infringe on that. And, you know, I've helped monitor, administrate a group on Facebook. It's, let's see, WF, oh my God. It's whatever the fuck you want. So it's
yeah.
Whatever. Nice. So WTFYW.
Wow.
That's the name. And then cross stitch. So that's the group. Whatever the fuck you want, cross stitch. And we talk about everything in there, but we also talk about cross stitch. And people will always say, well, can I just take this pattern I found on Pinterest and cross stitch it? And it's like, no, you can. You need to go find the artist who made the pattern and ask them if you can buy it or use it. And they get so angry about it because they're like, well, I can just take it off the internet, can I? And it's like, no. Yeah, these true. People work so hard to make the pattern and they're trying to make a living off of this or maybe not make a living, but they worked really hard on it. And you can't just steal it just because somebody put it on the internet. That's wrong. And yeah, no, right. You can't post it on here. And this, and they get angry. And I'm probably one of the biggest sticklers for that. And I'm like, why did you even ask? Just, if you were going to do it, don't even put it up here and ask for permission from us.
Right.
If you're going to do it, just do it. Just don't even tell me about it. I don't want to hear that.
Don't want to know. Don't want to know.
Right, exactly. Because I don't want to know when you're stealing my stuff later on. You okay? Because I've found people who have stolen some of my stuff, and I have been, you know, I got on their ass and, you know, scared people out of their pants, telling them they better take that crap off the internet. Mm-hmm. It was not theirs, you know?
That's right. Don't steal other people's stuff. Come on.
Right. Come on. So if you're going to take, you know, a picture of Mickey Mouse and put it through PC Stitch, don't put it on the internet later because Disney will come after you, and Disney is scary.
Yes, they are.
Right.
Yes.
Don't put it up on the internet and show it off that you stitched it, okay? Just don't.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. So, I'm understanding that your favorite horror movie is Evil Dead?
Yes. Evil Dead. Bruce Campbell, and I am actually doing a giveaway on my Facebook page for Demon Monkey Craft. If I can get my page to 1,000 likes, I will have a giveaway for season 2 of Ash versus Evil Dead.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Ooh. So I'll do 3 sets of the season 2. So I'm trying to get more likes up there. So by the time the book comes out, then I can have a little more exposure on social media. And Yes, but I just love Bruce Campbell. I love all his work. And I first, of course, found out about him when I saw Evil Dead 1 when I was a child. And that tree scene was so horrible. Oh, my yes. God. And then you're like in fifth grade. You're like, what just happened to that poor lady?
Yeah. I asked her about that.
Did you?
I got a chance to ask her about that tree rape scene, and she said that she just got rid of the Dutch elm disease like a couple years ago.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Oh yeah, it was that's a horrific scene. I just wow. Sam Raimi. Yeah.
Yeah, where did he was he just laying in bed one night and said, you know, women make a terrific scene in my movie as if I'd have this woman running out through the forest. She's captured by a tree.
And then several trees. Yeah. She got gangbanged by trees.
Oh, dear God. Yes. This would be fantastic for my movie.
Oh.
What a sadistic mofo. I mean, really.
Oh
Lord.
Yeah. So do you have any, what was the last horror movie you've seen recently?
Oh my goodness, what did I last watch? Over the weekend I watched The Gate. I hadn't seen that. From like the 80s with Stephen Dorff.
Yes.
I had not seen that, and my husband was like, you didn't see this? He's like, oh, you're gonna love it. And I couldn't get over the one girl's, you know, rawr bangs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Damn, I had big bangs, but they weren't that big.
Yeah. those were bad.
Those creepy little, you know, goons or whatever.
The minions.
Yeah. And then I kept thinking, you know, why have they done away with claymation? It actually is kind of cooler than some of the CGI stuff they do.
Well, they originally were using a real person in like a skin suit, but it didn't look creepy enough, so they added the little claymation part to it.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm like, just squish him. Just come on, step on him, guys. Punt him. Just punt him. So I'm talking to the TV like this. And I'm just irritated. But, I mean, it was still kind of a fun movie, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was one of my favorites from when I was younger. And yeah. there's also a part two to it.
Oh, my word. Really?
Without Stephen Dorff. But, yeah, there's a part two to it.
Damn. It just took me back. I'm like, I remember having boy kids in my class with those haircuts.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Is there any current horror movies that you'd like to watch?
I want to find out what this whole what's the movie I keep seeing ads for that is supposed to be Hereditary or something?
Oh, yeah.
What
that's
is
right.
That? You know, like, I want to find out what that's all about. How it's supposed to be, like, the scariest movie of all year. So I keep watching the trailer, and I'm like, what the hell is this supposed to be about? So I've got to see it.
Yeah, that's one I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta see it.
Nice.
What else is coming out that I need to see? There's so many. It's so hard when we moved here to Colorado a couple years ago and we still don't have a babysitter. So it's like, you know, I'll have to wait for it to come on demand. I'll have to wait for it to come on demand.
So what kind of, so if you're at home, what kind of horror channels are you watching at home?
Definitely doing anything that's on, you know, Netflix and Amazon and Shudder through Amazon. I do those. Ooh. I want to see the Steven Yeun one. That is now, was it mismanagement or something?
Oh, yeah.
I needed to see that one. I was going to try to check that out today. I know there's something else I've seen recently. My brain is so fried. I can't remember what it was. Dang it. What have you guys been watching?
Oh, wow. Yeah, mostly Netflix. I've been doing Netflix, getting through like a series of The Originals, Vampire Diaries. I found a new one called Dead Set. It's from the UK. It's a zombie one where like the first zombie apocalypse happens near a TV station where they're doing their version of Big Brother, and everyone's trapped inside. It's really creepy. Heck.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
That is really good. That is really good.
And there's Ripper Street, which is all about the Jack the Ripper.
I missed that one.
That one went through like a couple seasons, I think.
Yes.
That one's very good.
Yes.
I like that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten addicted to that Swedish horror show. I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's called... I said it last week, remember? Trying to remember the pronunciation. It's like Jordan Sloot or something?
Jordan Scoot? Yeah, Jordan Scoot.
That is freaking awesome. I love that show right now.
That's on Shudder, right?
It is on Shudder, yeah.
Yes.
First two, both the seasons are on Shudder. It's absolutely amazing. The shooting is amazing. This is the third straight week I've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Is it subtitled?
Right. Yeah, it's subtitled.
Yes. Because it's Swedish, right?
Yeah.
Or Norwegian?
It's Swedish, but it goes through ITV, I think, in England.
Okay.
I want to say it's ITV or there's another distributor in England. But yeah, it was on British TV for a while. Actually, it is on British TV.
Oh, no, the other movies I watched over the weekend was The Collector and Collection.
Yes.
I hadn't seen the first one, but I'd seen the second one. So I watched them back to back.
I can't find The Collector. I've been wanting to see that because all I've seen is The Collection. And they're like, he's done this before. I'm like, where?
Yes. There's one you can get. It's on Amazon. Through Shudder.
Okay.
So I watched through there, and then I went to Netflix to watch the other one.
Mm, okay. I'm going to have to go back to Shudder then.
Yeah. I hadn't seen that first one before, and it's really good.
Yeah. Oh, do you have a type, like a favorite genre of horror? Like, you know, there's slasher, there's supernatural, is there a favorite that you like?
I think I like everything except like hostile type movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not really a fan of the torture porn so much. But, yeah, I love the supernatural ones, and I love zombie stuff. I have to say I've never really grown out of the zombie ones. Probably love them more than the vampire ones. The ghost ones are really good, but they have the tendency to go bad.
Yeah.
Always like once they reveal the entity, it just kind of like goes to poop, like House on Haunted Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man, so good until they show the entity, and it was like, this is stupid. But. Yeah, I like pretty much everything. I like the revenge flicks too, where you have, the bad guys kind of get their ass whooped at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good. Yeah, so I like a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Pluto TV, and they have a horror 24/7 channel.
Oh God,
and they've been playing Sleepaway Camp series.
Ooh. Pluto TV, I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, it's free.
It's a free TV app, and I have it on my PlayStation. Yeah.
Oh my God, I must find this.
Yeah, it's free. It's called Pluto TV. They do all sorts of free stuff, but they have this. It's called Horror 24/7 channel.
Oh my god,
it's awesome. They play all sorts of series.
What was it? Was it around Halloween or around Christmas? I think it was where they played the hell out of Last House on the Left.
Yes, I think it was Christmas time.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I must have watched it four times.
That's a movie I have a hard time getting through. It's just too, it's too brutal.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, that was the closest to real rape you're going to see on a horror movie. It's too brutal.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Because I saw an interview with Wes Craven where he said they originally took out a bunch of stuff because the ratings board kept saying, well, you got to take this out. You got to take this out. So they took out all the good stuff. And then something happened. And Wes Craven said he ended up putting all that stuff back in and nobody knew about it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's like they got the rating and then he just snuck it all back in or something.
Yeah.
I think that was the story, yeah.
And left it because then the ratings crew never went back through it. So it's like, oh. Oh, it's too rough for me. Oh.
Yeah, that was one I saw once and I could, you know, it's like, okay, I've seen it. That's about it.
And then they did the remake or reboot of it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
But that wasn't so great. I mean,
no, it wasn't. It sucked.
It was bad.
But I'm like, you remake that? No. Oh.
Is that the one where they put the guy's head in the microwave?
No, I don't think so.
God, I wonder which one that was then.
That sounds good too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Put your head in the microwave and give yourself a tan, right?
Yeah. Like, this guy did something really bad to their daughter, and at the end, the parents got his head stuck in a microwave somehow, and that's how they took care of him.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a really good revenge thing.
Wow. How could you do that?
I don't know how they got his head in there and managed to operate the microwave. Maybe I dreamed that. I don't know.
There's a new cross-stitch pattern.
I'm kind of liking where this is going.
Yeah.
Sit back and let the magic happen.
Maybe there were some cameras in the microwave, too, recording it and reporting back to the NSA or something. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
You have anything else, Matt?
I guess at this point, just remind everybody where they can get your stuff.
Okay, well, you can always head over to the www.demonmonkeycraft.com for just general information about what's going on with everything. I have a blog, and there's a link to my Etsy there, as well as the Facebook page. Just search for Demon Monkey Craft. And the book, we're looking at, March or April, hopefully. And that is The Evil Dead 2, The Book of the Thread. And we're through Source Point Press, so you can always check with them, too, if you're looking for updates on that.
Aw. Thank you, Bex.
Thank you, guys.
And good luck to you. And we've been talking to Bex Martz Burley from Demon Monkey Craft. Be sure to go check out her book when it comes out, Evil Dead 2, The Book of the Thread. That sounds like a fun read.
Definitely. You're going to love it. It's not just for sitting on the toilet. It's for crafting too.
Nice. Oh.
You are listening to EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed. We'll be right back.
describe my deep obsession for the night. I've been wired to desire everything that's dark inspired. If it's wicked, I'm addicted. If it's vile, I go wild. Many things most find appalling, I find calming. Just as long as it's dark, scary, creepy, macabre, strange, unusual.
Hi, this is Dr. Death and Mr. Vile, and you are listening to EMZT Radio.
A horror movie guide from AMC.com. Horror movies that say, I hate Valentine's Day. Real love may not always be perfect, but it looks pretty good when set next to the mad, bad romances that drive movies like My Bloody Valentine and Return of the Living Dead 3. Number 17, White of the Eye. 1987. In a wealthy and isolated desert community, a sound expert is targeted as the prime suspect of a series of brutal murders of local suburban housewives who were attacked and mutilated in their homes. As he desperately tries to prove his innocence, his young wife starts to uncover mysteries of her own. Number 16. Possession. 1981. A woman starts exhibiting increasingly disturbing behavior after asking her husband for a divorce. Suspicions of infidelity soon give way to something much more sinister. Number 15. Opera. 1987. A stalker repeatedly kidnaps the object of his affection and makes her watch him kill. Number 14. Boxing Helena. 1993. A surgeon becomes obsessed with the seductive woman he once was in an affair with. Refusing to accept that she has moved on, he amputates her limbs and holds her captive in his mansion. Number 13. Dead Ringers. 1988. Twin gynecologists take full advantage of the fact that nobody can tell them apart, until their relationship begins to deteriorate over a woman. Number 12. Crash. 1996. After getting into a serious car accident, a TV director discovers an underground subculture of scarred, omnisexual car crash victims who use car accidents and the raw sexual energy they produce to try to rejuvenate his sex life with his wife. Number 11. Shivers. 1975. The residents of a suburban high-rise apartment building are being infected by a strain of parasites that turn them into mindless sex-crazed fiends out to infect others by the slightest sexual contact. Number 10. Valentine. Five women are stalked by an unknown assailant while preparing for Valentine's Day. Number 9, Videodrome, 1983. When he acquires a different kind of show for his station, a sleazy cable TV programmer begins to see his life and the future of media spin out of control in a terrifying new reality. Number 8, The Collector, 1965. A shy butterfly collector locks a girl in his basement, so she'll learn to love him. Number 7, High Tension, 2003. A co-ed tries to save the best friend she loves from a serial killer. Number 6, Cat People, 1942. He's all-American, she's an exotic beauty whose lust turns her into a werecat. Number 5, Return of the Living Dead 3, 1993. Having recently witnessed the horrific results of a top-secret project to bring the dead back to life, a distraught youth performs the operation on his girlfriend after she's killed in a motorcycle accident. Number 4, My Bloody Valentine, 3D, 2009. Tom returns to his hometown on the 10th anniversary of the Valentine's Night Massacre that claimed the lives of 22 people. Instead of a homecoming, Tom finds himself suspected of committing the murders, and it seems like his old flame is the only one that believes he's innocent. Number 3, Slither, 2006. A possessive husband pursues his wife, even as he mutates into an alien monster. Number 2, My Bloody Valentine, 1981. A decades-old folktale surrounding a deranged murderer killing those who celebrate Valentine's Day turns out to be true to legend when a group defies the killer's order and people start turning up dead. And number 1 is Bride of Frankenstein, 1935. He has made her to order, but she has a mind of her own. Uh-oh. And that's your list of horror movies to watch that say, I hate Valentine's Day. And I do hate Valentine's Day. And you're listening to EMZT Radio.
Pure as part, they will see. This is EMZT Radio. Come and let your ears bleed.
And that wraps up another episode of EMZT Radio. Thank you to Bex Martz Burley for coming on and talking to us about her demon monkey craft.
Demon monkey craft?
That's the horror cross-stitch art.
Absolutely. And again, if you got any projects you need for us to promote, we're here to promote you. Think of us as a PR agency if you want to. Ha ha. Anyways, you can do that. Hit us up, mailbox@emztproductions.us, mailbox@emztproductions.us, mailbox@emztproductions.us. There you go. How long was I saying dot? Like every time? It doesn't matter.
No, you didn't. You did it right the first two times.
I did it right the first two times. I just said, mailbox dot. So there goes. Have you ever had that where your brain is just like disconnected from your body?
Yes.
I've been having that experience all day.
That's me trying to get up and remember where the hell I am.
Yeah, that's me about 2:45 every morning. So what the fuck? Why am I dressed? It's 2:00. Oh shit! Yeah, I gotta go to that fucking place called work. I like my job. Apparently, they like me so much they pay me to show up. So,
yay!
See, that's how people should look at a job. It's like, you know, these people like you enough to where they'll pay you to show up. So, you know.
That's a new way of looking at things. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your positivity for the week. So take that sunshine and shove it up your ass. Yeah. Feel the salty coming off of that one. All right.
And remember, it's Women in Horror Month this month. Yes. So do try to find more horror projects that have women in it or who contributed to it. And
yes,
maybe go, that is awesome. Because it is awesome.
Yes. And remember, don't make it just one month. Do it every month. And, you know, support everybody. Give for God's sake. If you got the money and you like the project, just throw, you know, a lot of these people on Patreon, and we do it too, you could throw $1, $5. They don't care.
Yeah.
It's $1, $5 closer to their goal. And speaking of Patreon, you can get us at EMZT Radio on Patreon as well and on Maker Support. Remember, $1 is a dollar closer for Bane and I to do this full time and give you better horror content and a lot more. Other stuff. We're hopefully going to start the Let's Play series soon on the EMZT YouTube. I'm considering Fallout New Vegas or Zombie. I haven't decided yet. I'm not really good at Zombie yet, but I've just kind of cracked into it. It's an older game from 2014, I think, 2014 or 15. Okay. I'm just not good at it yet. So. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't show a game where I fuck up a lot because, you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Fallout, where apparently I get killed a lot. But, you know, anyway, Zombie is a pretty good game so far. You tool around London. I'm interested to see how far this goes. Xbox got in touch with us this week.
What?
Well, yes, but it because I kind of tweeted at them first. They're asking if we can play Friday the 13th. So we might be doing a live mixer with Friday the 13th. Well, then again, we might not. But we will. I will be on Mixer because I don't think is Mixer on PS4 or PS3. Can you get Mixer support?
No.
And yeah, I can get. You get Twitch support.
Yeah, but I can try.
I know Mixer is kind of owned by Microsoft, but we do have a Mixer channel and a Twitch channel, which we're working on right now, getting some rights and working with some people to bring you 24/7 content on that channel as well. So,
huh?
Yeah, Mixer's more of a Microsoft thing anyway, so. I thought it.
Yeah, it says PlayStation.
Yeah, you, I mean, you could do it, but I mean, you know, it probably would be easier for you to get on Twitch. Who knows?
Yeah,
because they, you know, Microsoft. I'll say this though: Xbox has made it like a pain in the butt to get on Twitch now.
Yeah.
Because but then again, you get on Mixer the same way you used to get on Twitch on Xbox. I get it though, because Microsoft owns. I've said it four times already. I know, but Microsoft owns Mixer.
So. Yeah.
There's some cool shit on I will, Twitch though.
I hooked up my PlayStation to Twitch, but I mean, all I can do is just, you know, watch the videos and chat. That's all I can do.
Yeah. There's some awesome stuff though on Twitch though.
Oh yeah.
I bet you watch the Bob Ross channel a lot and
No.
You remember the old Carl Sagan shows?
Yeah.
The Cosmos with Carl Sagan?
Yes.
Somebody runs that 24/7 now.
What?
Yeah, there's a Cosmos channel that goes 24/7. And they have a cooking channel and Buzzer, the over the air game show channel, actually has a channel on Twitch.
Oh man.
That's why we gotta get in on this.
Yeah, the things you find on all these places. It's funny.
So again, you know, like I said, hit us up on Maker Support and Patreon. You get the same perks either way, so it doesn't really matter where you give to us. Basically, you know, like I said, we're looking to do things. We're looking to do more projects, especially in the way of the old Bizarre TV on Roku. Unfortunately, you know, she died over the holidays. And we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, but
yeah,
she was kind of an inspiration to me as far as what I wanted to do on Roku and that sort of thing. So I was really sad to hear her pass, but that's kind of what we want to do. We want to give indie filmmakers a chance and indie shows and horror shows a chance to have their own channel, really.
Yeah.
Just to get more exposure, because more exposure is great exposure. Any way you look at it. So anyways, I've rambled on for too long. So
have we done enough damage for the day?
I think we have. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, Maker Support, Patreon, you know how to do it. Links in the description. The links to all of what you hear on EMZT Radio are always in the description, so please do that. Please go to these people's websites and support them, because they took the time out to send us projects for us to talk about on EMZT. So please do that, and I guess I'm done now. I'm done rambling.
And stay tuned for another episode of EMZT Radio.
Psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!